You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again, as Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, where we're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network, the place to be, a network that's growing by leaps and bounds on a daily basis. Proud to be a part of the Global Star Radio Network. We're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, BTR, of course. You can watch us live and by archive right here on our YouTube video channel. How do you like us? The links to each audio and video broadcasting venue can be found at HagmanandHagman.com. And, of course, don't forget two websites, HagmanandHagman.com for the show and HagmanReport.com. That is for the news information analysis. That's show prep. HagmanReport.com. That's show prep. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, fellow investigator, researcher, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team, where we dig deep into the topics that the mass media won't, never will, and, of course, we uncover things that they don't and never will, and they're controlled, captured, and really a product of the state. Open line Wednesday is starting second hour. Get ready. Get your dialing fingers ready. Do we still have dialing fingers? I mean, what has gone on with the telephones? The rotary dial. Oh, how I miss that. And folks, have you noticed that, and I don't believe this is by accident, but I believe this is by design. Have you noticed that, it's really difficult with cell phones to get a clear signal? Here it is, 2016. And everywhere I go, I hear, what'd you say, huh? Oh, your caller, I'm losing you. I mean, it's like, code blue in a trauma room. Just crazy. Now, before we get started here, I think I might have knocked something. Did I knock something? No. Okay, a couple of things. Portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by HealthMasters.com. HealthMasters.com. Oh, visit HealthMasters.com. And the key right now. Here's a super secret promo. Doug Book. D-O-U-G-B-O-O-K. Now, that's not a reference to my book. That's a reference to Breakthrough Health by Dr. Ted Brower. Every single order gets a copy of Breakthrough Health. So load up on your nutritional supplements, get Breakthrough Health as well. It's a great, fantastic resource. And, I was talking to Ted Brower and wanted to make sure that he was not going to discontinue that book. And he's not, that I know of. And speaking of books, folks, I do have right now in my office, I did get, one more shipment in, and I don't know if this will be the last one for this printing or not. Gathered up some copies. I have from the first printing, the remnants of the first printing, I believe. For some reason, I think they were destined for a brick and mortar store somewhere. I'm not exactly certain, but I was able to get my hands on a case of them. Stained by blood. So if you'd like to, folks, and it's up to you. You can order them through Amazon. You can get a Kindle copy on Amazon, and you can get a paperback via Amazon. But if you'd like to, if you go to stainedbyblood.com on the right-hand side, upper right-hand side, hey, I'll sign one for you. Or you personalize it to whatever you might want me to say. I'll write it in there and send it right out to you. $20. That includes tax and shipping. It's a great deal. So yeah, if you'd like, just go to stainedbyblood.com and go ahead and put that in the upper right-hand corner there. And those people who, pretty much, I believe everyone who has ordered one to date, with the exception of maybe the last few days, I'm not sure, it should have gotten theirs. Now, if you were part of that snafu with the butterflies, teapots, and coffee pots, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, that's a story in and of itself, but I think you should have all got yours. And I did get a couple of people email me. The post office, and I looked through this, the post office caught everyone, all but 16 copies during that snafu. All right, so there are 16 copies out there, and I heard from one of the 16, and I resent a new book to that person. I said all that to say this. If you don't have your, if it's been, you know, since the beginning of April, you don't have your copy, well, then there's a problem. If you just ordered your copy this week, well, you should be getting it any day now. And if you ordered it yesterday, those were sent out today. But I have more. Stainedbyblood.com. Stainedbyblood.com. And I'll personalize it for you as well. And, if that's what you'd like. Otherwise, Amazon is good. And Kindle. They have the Kindle version as well. Can you tell we're still trying to get used to the new setup here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe, it's great to be here. You were here and we had a good meeting. We are behind in certain things. We're behind in email. We're behind we're catching up, though. We're beginning to catch up. We're really putting our noses to the grindstone and catching up on a lot of things. But the news and information is coming in at such a fast pace. And Joe, I know you're buried in research and I know I'm buried in trying to get people to talk. That's a very difficult thing, is getting people to talk.
Yeah, it can be. Yesterday we had the New York primaries, both for the Republican and Democratic election. You had Hillary Clinton winning the Democratic side and Donald Trump winning the Republican side. There are a few interesting write-ups today about the results and where we will see the primaries on the Republican side go from here. Trump campaign projects 1,400 delegates at convention. From an internal memo inside the Trump campaign, Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump campaign advisors are projecting the billionaire businessman will secure more than 1,400 delegates at the Republican National Convention in July, the Washington Post reported today.
Joe, Jim Robinson from Free Republic, the head of Free Republic, Republican, not necessarily conservative, just a Republican. It's known as one of the basically the icons of Republican forums, conceded that it's going to be Trump and is now trying to get all of his forum members to back Trump. And it's interesting because a lot of people are saying, in your face. And the purge over there continues. I'm watching, and it's kind of fun to watch that and to see how, when I say fun, I don't mean that. I guess here's what my concern, Joe, is we're lacking conservatism, we're lacking principles, we're lacking the spiritual rebirthing of a nation that needs to happen. And with your permission, I know that you start out with a 1,400, but two things I'd like to get into real quick here is this, and then, but before I do, and if you want to continue with what you're...
No, we can get into that. Transgendered?
No, this is actually kind of a something from David Lane. Before I get into David Lane, folks, if you haven't already, if you don't know about this, Eric the Tech. Now, Eric the Tech to me is, how can I put this? If I have a technical problem, I'll call Eric the Tech. Obviously, hence the name. But he's extremely intelligent when it comes to all things of a technical nature in terms of computers and networking and such. And he's the one that designed and put together our studio. But the reason I mention this is because he is watching on a larger scale what's taking place across America and across the free world. So he's reporting on this through his website, technationreport.com, but he has a YouTube channel now. Just go to technationreport.com, okay, and from there bounce over to YouTube, and you'll be able to see what he's reporting on. So he's got his own YouTube channel, Technation Report, at YouTube. So definitely subscribe to that. The reason I'm bringing that up is because so much of what we're seeing today is all technologically related. It's a technocracy. It's the 3D printers changing the game of warfare. It's the out of place spy boxes on utility poles coming to a pole near you. It's all of this. And he reports on this. So anyway, I'm going to mention that. But getting back to Trump, if I can, just very quickly, Joe, and then I'm going to turn it over to you completely. In fact, I'm just going to do this, walk away. What do you think of that? We got something in our email box today. It's by David Lane from American Renewal Project something. American Renewal Project is the organization. Now, I don't know much about this. I don't know much about organization, about the organization itself. American Renewal Project. I don't. And that's not to say it's a good organization or a bad organization or you know, antithetical, consistent with or opposing our beliefs, but it sounds pretty consistent with our beliefs. Here's what we got today. And please have a listen to this. David Lane writes this. A recent article in the Los Angeles Times called into question whether or not boycotting a state over a social issue would hurt the state's economy. Now think about that. We had talked about boycotting the airlines, and more on that later. Or boycotting air travel, more on that later. An economist quoted in the piece said, boycotts can help frame the image of an economy or a region. Image framing in public relations really does have an impact, but it's really hard to tease out what that impact is. In other words, attempts to shame legislators around the country for listening to their constituents' concerns about, for example, transgendered bathrooms, religious liberty, may be bad for public relations without affecting public revenue. What he's saying there, and if I can just paraphrase, is you take a stand against homosexuality, you take a stand against abortion, and you urge others to boycott, we'll say, some business that promotes, celebrates homosexual marriage. That can hurt you, and it's hurt us. We've done that. It's hurt us tremendously, monetarily. But our ethics, we can sleep at night, and our ethics still stand. But anyway, in other words, the Christians in the public square are supposed to feel shame for believing and living out the faith once delivered to the saints. And that's a reference to Jude chapter 3. In post-Christian America, biblical wisdom holds little appeal to secularists. Scant premium is placed upon spiritual wisdom. Secular fringe extremists have become so infatuated with idol worship that they've lost all sense of restraint with the goals of pushing transgendered bathrooms, turning straight men gay, and heterosexual women into lesbians. These zealots fit Immanuel Kant's definition of the fool, one who sacrifices things of value. The definition of a fool is one who sacrifices things of value to ends that have no value. Think about that. A fool is one who sacrifices things of value two ends that have no value. We know, he writes this, we now live in an age of state ideology where there is a correct position on same-sex intercourse and marriage, climate change, transgender rights, and Muslim immigration. Now, aren't these all things, Joe, part of the platform's policies of all of the campaign people, whether it's Trump or Cruz or Kasich or Hillary or whatever? But he, I think he nails it here pretty well throughout this. Free speech does not extend to those areas, meaning free speech does not extend to climate change or homosexuality, transgender rights, Muslim immigration. No, no, not at all. There is only the approved party line, and dissenting views are not allowed in public without being scorned openly. Secularists no longer want to win the debate. They want to end the debate. And that's what we're seeing here. And I think this is why it's so important. And when we talk about Cruz, when Joe talks about the delegates and the 1,400 that are expected, and we attempt to merge the secular politics with what the God-given morals or the God-given commandments and morals, it's really, we really have to pay attention. Solomon painted with an even sharper edge when he prophetically described those who fuel social anarchy in America. A foolish, evil man walks in rebellion. Proverbs 6, verse 9. The Hebrew word there can be translated insurrectionist. And this describes the type of people who drive the LGBT agenda. And you're right, Joe. This was pretty much on the LGBT agenda, but I was looking at this from a larger moral perspective. Michael Fox's commentary is more descriptive. He writes that these people are with shoddy moral character, prone to wickedness and simple nastiness, and devoid of good sense and moral compunctions. Boy, is that ever true. The recent battle over same-sex intercourse and marriage, now transgender bathrooms, reinforces the truth stated by Solomon, namely that, and I quote, folly seeks a public venue and appears in much the same places as wisdom. They are often in proximity, proposing alternative choices in many circumstances. And I'll wrap this up here really quick. Up until the last century, America was a culturally confident civilization. Now, under the guise, and this is my commentary, under the guise of making America great again, Donald Trump, to me, appears to be doing, attempting to do that, saying, we're going to make America great again. But he's not talking about the spiritual foundations. He's talking about the monetary, the economics, the military, which is fine. But equal, if not more, importance has to be addressed to the spiritual. Now, Lane continues about America. Her citizens were imbued with a deep biblical faith that embedded itself into religious and political thought. The founders believed that the laws made by them were subject to divine law, and that the citizens retained freedom even to disobey a secular law as revealed in the Bible. Meaning to say, what Greg Jackson, for example, author of 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, frequent guest here on the Hagman Report, meaning to say that a law that is against biblical law, a man-made law that's against biblical law, is no law at all.
You would be correct.
Okay, so until the last two or three generations, the greatest export sent out by America was Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Lord of life. Righteousness elevates a nation to greatness in the world, making it a power for good. The surest way to progress, the surest way to prosperity, and the common good was not the wisdom of policy, extent of empire, splendid conquests, flourishing trade, or abundant resources, but righteousness. Righteousness exalteth a nation. When an enemy is an ungodly man to his country. Now, I thought that was pretty profound. And that was, again, from David Lane, American Renewal Project. I thought that was pretty applicable. And I thought that was applicable, and I believe that's applicable, Joe, to the you're talking about the candidates, you're talking about the elections, you're talking about the politics.
Yeah, and I want to segue from that into the something that's going on in the courts in Virginia with the transgender agenda. But back to the Trump campaign projects 1,400 delegates at convention. But let me point out again, they're talking about at the convention. They're not talking about Trump securing the primary before the convention with the 1237. Cruz, on the other hand, went on to say that we're headed to a contested convention at this point. Nobody is getting 1237, he told Philadelphia radio host Chris Sigdahl. And GOP presidential candidate John Kasich has long predicted a contested convention. Currently, after last night, the delegate count is 845 for Trump, 559 for Cruz, and 147 with Kasich. This from the Associated Press. And there's still more primaries to go. We have ours here next Tuesday in Pennsylvania. And it'll be interesting to see how these continue to play out and what the numbers will look like as the final states before this convention in July, how this ends up and how this winds up. Because we know if the 1237 magic number is not made by the convention, then they will have their special votes at the convention. And we have more information on that later. First, I wanted to hit this. The federal appeals court rules Virginia schools' transgender bathroom policy is discriminatory. A federal appeals court has ruled that a Virginia high school violated the law by forcing a transgender teen to use the bathroom based on the biological sex the teen was born, meaning by forcing a man to use a men's room. They are guilty of discrimination.
Yeah, how dare
you. The case is expected to have significant implications for the recently passed North Carolina law that includes a similar provision. The Virginia case involves a student named Gavin Grimm, who was born female but identifies as male. Though Grimm was permitted to use the boys' restroom for a short period of time in 2014, complaints from parents compelled the school board to adopt a policy that required students to use the bathroom that corresponds to the sex they were born, or opt to use a single stall restroom. It shall be the practice of the Gloucester County Public Schools to provide male and female restroom and locker room facilities in its schools, and the use of said facility shall be limited to the corresponding biological genders, and the students with gender identity issues shall be provided an alternative private facility, the school board said in a 6-1 ruling on the issue. Along with the adoption of this policy, the school built private unisex bathrooms for student use. But despite the school's efforts to offer a fair and alternative to its transgender students, members of the LGBT community have construed the policy as discriminatory. Grimm brought her case to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, arguing that gender should be determined by psychology, not biology. On Tuesday, a 3-judge panel of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled 2-1 to overturn the contested Gloucester County School Board policy. The Associated Press reports the court said the policy violated Title 6, the federal law that prohibits discrimination in schools. The court determined that the policy is in violation of a U.S. Department of Education rule that transgender students in public schools must be allowed to use the restrooms that correspond with their gender identity. Now, there's two stories here, unrelated, that I saw today that have a lot of meaning behind it and have had a lot of influence in the media. One, do you remember the tweets that were going out at a college campus that were racist in nature, saying, you know, all blacks will be killed? Do you remember that?
You know, I don't have my ears in, but I can hear you kind of, sort of, the tweet that went out.
Remember there was that big brouhaha at the at the college in, I don't know if it was in Ohio, maybe a month, 2 months ago, where there was all this racial tension, and there was tweets going out, racist tweets going out, and... It had come out now that the person behind the tweet saying, you know, all black people will be killed, an African American. And now it's come out, there is a pastor who ordered a cake from Whole Foods. This is a homosexual pastor. He ordered a cake from Whole Foods, and the writing on the cake said, "Love wins." This is the way he ordered it from the store, and security footage shows.
Love wins, meaning that's the mantra for...
Right.
That goes back to the Obergefell decision back on June 26, 2015. Where love wins, hashtag love wins was the mantra, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So
he takes the cake and gets the cake, and in the same color of frosting as the writing, writes in the center of the cake the letters FAG. Turns around, takes a picture, sends it to media, calls an attorney, only to find out that this pastor is the one who doctored the cake, and the Whole Foods can prove it through the security camera. The point I'm getting at is that there's been a few other unrelated incidents where assaults, quote unquote assaults, on homosexuals happened. They say happened in California, and one in Utah were done by homophobic residents that turned out to be hoaxes as well. There seems to be a whole lot of these stories that play into the division along the sexual, gender, race, and class warfare lines that are, you call them false flag police reports. I mean, the people who were saying that they were being attacked for their homosexuality,
right,
did it to themselves. Right. The people who are saying they're being oppressed and having slurs written across their cakes are doing it themselves. The people who are saying that they're being threatened with their life are the ones issuing the threats. Kind of like in the South, there was a series of church vandalisms where black churches were being vandalized, only to find out that it was an African American doing the
I've seen this so many times in investigations, when I've done investigations, where a person will... And
it's becoming much more prevalent.
Yeah, though, exactly.
Especially with the LGBT issue.
Everyone is a victim.
Yep.
We need to really take a good hard look at some of these complaints, because, and of course that skews the statistics, but a lot of the complaints that are coming in about discrimination.
Yeah. No, it's very prevalent, and it's, gaining. I'm seeing the truth of these stories come out, months after the fact now. But a lot of these issues that were, behind some of the movements or different issues that raised a stink in the news turn out to be, quote unquote, false flags, people attacking themselves just to raise awareness.
Even
to
setting
the,
themselves up. Imagine knowing, for example,
me spray painting, something on my car because, I love Jesus, and I'd say someone writes something, some kind of slur on my car, whatever that would be. But I do it myself, and do it for the attention. Not only the attention for myself, but specifically for the movement that I'm involved in.
Well,
next story is no hoax.
All right.
Choose your gender. Parents blast counsel for telling kids as young as 4 to pick the sex they identify with before starting school. It wrote to parents urging them to support their child's choice of gender identity in a letter confirming primary school places this week. And it asked them to leave the gender section of the form blank if their child had another gender identity altogether. The letter was sent to thousands of parents preparing to send their kids to new schools later this year. Brighton and Hove City Council wrote, "We recognize that not all children and young people identify with the gender they were assigned at birth or may identify as a gender other than male or female. However, the current systems set nationally only record gender as male or female. Please support your children to choose the gender they most identify with. Or if they have another gender identity, please leave this blank and discuss it with your child's school. Many parents were appalled by the letter. One mother said children at the school should be free to develop their identity. They are not adults. Let them enjoy their innocence and creativity of their childhood. Troy MP Andrew Bridigan described the letter as utterly ridiculous. He added, schools should be teaching kids to read and write, not prompting them to consider gender swaps. The council's move came just months after it sent pupils at Blatchington Mill School in Hove a gender survey with 25 options to choose from. As well as girl and boy, answers included genderqueer, trigender, gender fluid. Author Stephanie Davis Ari, an expert on child communication skills, said, if you say the word gender to a child, they would have no idea what it means. If you tell a child they are opposite gender, they will think you mean the opposite sex. It's very confusing and it leads to emotional problems for children. Anyways, it goes on to say there are an increasing number of children and young people nationally that are identifying themselves as trans. Ms. Daniel said she is aware of concerns about the wording on the form. She added, we will review this to see whether we can make it clear and consider discussions around gender identity to be an option for parents rather than an obligation. But do you see how sick and twisted this is becoming? You're talking about people who are going, kids who are going to preschool, having to answer the question if they identify with being male or female, regardless of the way they were born. I don't even see, and if this continues for 1 year, let alone 5 years, what this next generation of kids who are starting school, you know, that started school in the last 3-4 years are going to look like in 10-15 years.
To me, it's real simple. If you're born,
where are you
going to
get soldiers from? Where are you going to? I mean, people are going to be so confused about their gender, they're not going to be able to function in their daily life.
There should be no confusion about gender. If you're born with the male anatomy, if you're born with you know what I'm talking about, then you're a guy, and if you don't have one, then you're a woman. It's simple as that.
No, that's racist.
It's not racist. That's that would be bigoted, I believe.
No, but see, I can say racist because that's the word they'll use. A racist, no, a homophobic, genderphobic. I mean, what's the next slur that they're going to come out with to identify people who are against, you know, the choosing of your gender?
Well, all of this is by design, and of course, you know,
it's crazy.
Even there was a congressional hearing today speaking about things that are immoral. A congressional hearing today on new documents showing that Planned Parenthood illegally profited from the sale of aborted baby parts.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday.
But this was a hearing today, though. There's a senator from Nebraska gave some pretty passionate testimony saying that he's unashamedly pro-life and he understands others disagree. Disagreement over abortion will sometimes be heated, but whenever possible, we should look for a consensus. No, we shouldn't. What's wrong with saying, look, it's wrong. It's not only illegal, it is the murdering of an unborn child. Simple as that. Anyway, the statement that was made, when Congress passed the 1993 NIH, the National Institutes of Health Revitalization Act, California Democrat Harry Waxman appropriately noted, and I'm just going to quote this. I'm just cherry-picking a few things from this. This amendment that I'm offering as a substitute would enact the most important safeguards, and those are safeguards to prevent any sale of fetal tissue for any purpose, just not for the purpose of research. Okay, think about that. It would be abhorrent to allow for a sale of fetal tissue and a market to be created for that sale. So words are important. The language for the NIH Revitalization Act in floor debate created a very clear legislative intent that no one should profit from the sale of fetal tissue. And see, the Center for Medical Progress comes out and says, comes out and exposes this by way of video.
Nope. And, going to jail. Do not pass go.
Absolutely. So it's horrible. And especially those pathetic people who have stuck up for or said, well, you know, the Center for Medical Progress,
misrepresented themselves.
Yeah, well, shame. You know what the last time, what happened the last time, but
yes.
Somebody said that to me.
Yeah, we've talked about this, and one of the last times we went to testify in a New York court of law.
I know you won't be able to believe this.
Before workers' compensation fraud was somebody we...
we were on this guy for months. It was in the middle of nowhere.
We were lucky, if we were fortunate enough to legally be invited in to document his activities. And it wasn't so much his activities as his ability to do these activities because he was allegedly hurt.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went under a pretext that was actually true of being a journalist. And
actually, we were
journalists at the time.
Yep.
We took all this information to the judge, and the judge threw you out of court, and you threw the TV out of the courtroom. The only time I ever thought I was going to see him get arrested. I mean, really get arrested. And it was a judge. Yeah. Even the lawyer was surprised. The point being that the judge was upset. You know how law enforcement cops are allowed to lie to suspects in order to...
That's a pretext. It's you know. And, of course, I can't believe some of these idiotic, holier-than-thou, self-professed Christians who believe that... I was called a professional liar. Okay.
When you're a private investigator, that's not too far. I mean, you do lie for the purposes of...
So let me get this straight. Out of the... And I'm sorry. I don't mean to keep going back to this, but let me get this straight. Out of the issue of lying under pretext in order to uncover a criminal activity...
To uncover a truth, right?
Whether it be a
criminal activity or not.
Between that and misrepresenting yourself... Or representing yourself as someone you're not under that condition, but not making someone do something they would not ordinarily do. So out of those two, you have the bitch about the misrepresentation.
Mm-hmm.
Seek professional help. Seek mental health counseling.
When the felony is not as egregious as the misrepresentation, there's a problem.
Absolutely. And it just gets my goat that these people, the so-called Christians, will take a Bible and basically they'll hit you over the head, metaphorically speaking, with the Bible and pummel you with the Bible until you're let's just say it's a Bible in a wooden case and pummel you over the head until you're dead. And that's their Christianity, of course. And I know. Look, I know who's behind all of this. I know who the individuals behind this campaign, the individuals behind the campaign who are turning us in to various advertisers saying that we preach hate, that we speak hate, that we are bigoted, we are homophobic, we're xenophobic, we are name the phobia there. Okay, it's a campaign that we fight day in and day out. They are trying to shut us up, and they're not just doing it to us, but they're doing it to Rick Wiles, they're doing it to Dave Hodges, they're doing it to every alternative media out there who's speaking the truth with respect to Jesus Christ. And that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, from HagmanReport.com, this was one of the top stories up there today. Christianity demonized as a global menace. It's a write-up by David Limbaugh. Says, can you believe anyone even organizes a white privilege conference these days, 7 years into Barack Obama's presidency? Well, you'd better believe it. And you should also know that at least one of its speakers at the conference is militantly Christophobic. The 17th annual White Privilege Conference was held in Philadelphia from April 15th to the 17th. Blake Neff from the Daily Caller attended the conference and reported activist and author Paul Kevel actually claimed that almost every dysfunction in society, from racism and sexism to global warming and the weakened economy, is united by the ideology of Christian hegemony.
Mm-hmm.
What's
mm-hmm.
the problem, you mm-hmm. ask? Well, in the United States, between 7,000 and 10,000 predominantly white Christian men run the major institutions and colonize our mind with Christianity's core ideas, which leads to most of the world's problems. Kievel identified three particularly severe problems in the modern world that are caused or worsened by Christianity. First are wars in the Middle East, which he says are the result of Christianity's efforts to spread Western ideas and influence. And it goes on from there. It says the second problem attributed to Christianity is the economic destruction it has caused because, writes Neff, it provides that God-like invisible hand that supposedly drives market forces with a flawed capitalist system. And this is, you know, obviously an attack not on Christianity. It's an attack on the corruption aspect of Western society capitalism that we see. But they're using Christianity as to blame Christianity for man-made global warming and bad economy. You can't come up with something better than that.
Well,
I mean, I'll agree that the corrupt Western, what would you call it? Communist, commune capitalism, quasi-communist, quasi-capitalist.
Fascist would work, perhaps.
Spreading, you know, democracy does have its downfalls. It's not a great idea. We've seen what it has done to the Middle East. But is that a Christian idea? To spread state government run by corrupt bankers?
Well,
I don't think that is anything Christian-like.
No, and it gets me when people say, well, you know, Jesus was a socialist, and really, these people are clueless that say things like that. That Jesus would have been a socialist, or
the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat.
Yeah, exactly.
It also says, you know, to love your neighbor as yourself. But our society is just so self-centered that we're so far beyond anything that resembles correct. Christianity, even the things and institutions that identify as being Christian.
Well, while we are immersed in the politics of the day, while everyone is looking at Clinton and Trump and Cruz and looking at the theatrics here, here's what's going on that you need to really focus on. FACTA, FATCA, FATCA. This was reported, actually re-reported by Zero Hedge, it was initially reported by internationalman.com, but if you've never heard of FATCA, FATCA, that's the Foreign Account Tax Compliant Act. You're not alone, okay? Very few people have heard of FATCA, but even fewer really understands what it means to you. Now, it's a U.S. law that compels every financial institution in the world to give the IRS information about its American clients. Complying with it is a huge financial and administrative burden to other countries, to other banks. And you might think, well, that's so what? But FATCA is the reason the majority of banks and brokerages and other financial institutions outside of the U.S. are shunning American clients. Now, if you think about not the people, and don't think about this in terms of people with money being, you know, sheltering their money out of the country. While that's the natural reaction, and that's the natural way to think, what people aren't understanding is that we are being subjected to, we are being disallowed to take our money and to move it out of the country, or to keep it where we're being disallowed to do what we want to do with the money that we have made. Now, the writer writes this. I was just in Singapore, which is has one of the soundest banking systems in the world, and banks there treat potential American clients as liabilities, radioactive liabilities, as a matter of fact, to be avoided, which is how FATCA makes it much more difficult to move money outside of the United States. Combined with other costly extraterritorial U.S. regulations, the law amounts to really de facto capital controls. And capital controls is part of the new world order, the new financial order. Capital controls are part of the socialism of the United States. Please, folks, understand, part of the TPP, or an offshoot of the TPP, and the cousin of, we'll say, NAFTA, GATT, and other such treaties, and the offshoots of those, the administrative policies, are de facto capital controls. So, too few people understand FATCA. Governments, institutions often give their most dangerous laws and schemes these very oblique, opaque names to cloud their true purposes. And this, for example, the Federal Reserve, perfect example of what I just said. After two central banking experiments, this is back in the early 19th century, way back when, it failed to take root. Anything that was associated with central bank became deeply unpopular with the public. So what did they do? They changed the name. Well, they changed the branding through changing the name. Rather than call their new central bank, well, a third bank of the United States. Remember, we had the first, second, the third. The previous two were, hence the name, the first and second bank of the United States, respectively. And they represented this Federal Reserve, the first two iterations of the Federal Reserve. And it wasn't until the third time they said, well, boy, we can't do this a third time. It ain't working out too well. So we're going to call this the Federal Reserve. That's what they did. They gave it a vague and boring name to hide it in plain sight from the average person. That means you and me. But these smoke and mirrors work pretty well. Actually, they worked for what, Joe? 100 years? Really? And well, thereabouts. Soon, people began to realize, through books like The Creature from Jekyll Island, J. Edgar Griffin, and others, hey, that's what the Federal Reserve is. Federal Reserve note, it's a note, it's an instrument of debt. People are starting to wake up now more and more and more. And by the way, they're going to put Harriet Tubman on the 20. Did you guys hear about that, folks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's something, Joe, you could talk about, but Harriet Tubman's going to go on the 20. Go figure.
The only reason that this story is worrisome to me is not because she's black, not because she's a woman, but because it's such a, at the time where the Chinese launched a new currency, gold-backed currency, to make a drastic change like this signifies something more symbolic than...
Yes. Yes,
they're not doing it to pay tribute to Tubman. They're doing it to indicate to one another that something's going to change.
You go back, you're exactly right, because you go back to the redesigning of the bills, the hundreds, the 50s, and all the bills, that there's something to that more people don't realize. But let me just really hit FATCA, the remaining part of this, and then. But here's the deal. Ostensibly, FATCA is about cracking down on offshore tax evasion. The U.S. government has another, more sinister motive, like they always do. They'll tell you, hey, this law, the war on drugs or whatever it might be, that's for this reason. This is because there's a drug epidemic. Well, the real reason is usually hidden well below that. The other reason. The real reason is they want to capitalize on the drug market. In this case, they want to... control what you do with your money. And this is part of the New World Order. So FATCA, folks, spend some time researching FATCA, FATCA. Go to Zero Hedge. As a matter of fact, read the article there. And even more importantly, read the comments to the article. Now, some of them can be pretty profane. And you'll have to go through the language. All right. I'm sorry about that. There's nothing I can do, certainly. However, it is important to understand that the government is selling this in the same fashion it sold the income tax to Americans, in the same fashion it sold the Fed, as a measure targeted at only the rich. Folks, it is not just against the rich. It's going to affect you and me. When the federal income tax, just to be real quick here, was introduced back in 1913, people making up to 20 grand, which would be today, it would be the equivalent of $475,000. Were only taxed at 1%. The top bracket kicked in at $500,000 back then, which would be $12 million today, with only a tax rate of 7%. Now, once the infrastructure was in place for the federal income tax, politicians naturally couldn't resist ramping it up and tweaking it and saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. Eventually, it snowballed into what we have today, which is this monstrous, oppressive vehicle for subjugation, the likes of which the rules themselves would reach from the table here to the top of the ceiling. And you can expect a very similar situation the dynamic, the gradualism, the incrementalism with FATCA, GATCA, a global tax, and this is what it's all about. It's a global tax. It's this massive socialist push. So go ahead, and I just want to make sure I got that in. Do not, folks, do not, or please pay attention to the FATCA. Please pay attention to that, and you're going to be hearing much more about it, because in the lurking in the background is this, and this is a mechanism for your enslavement.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something I'm definitely going to be looking into. And just the last comment on the $20 bill, I don't think anybody should really care. Or I see comments, you know, people are angry or happy. That, I mean, who cares whose face is on the money? Just as long as it's not my face, that's all I care about.
Well,
you know, it's really not an issue to me, and it shouldn't be to anybody else. It's not our money. It's a debt instrument. You know, we talk about how how much it has hurt our nation, and being taken away from the gold standard. It's the world reserve currency, soon not to be the world reserve currency. As China now has gold-backed yuan, it's not going to be long before that overtakes and is more attractive to all the markets of the world, rather than the dollar that is spineless, basically. It's just a paper tiger. This article I want to hit, and then in the next 2 hours, we're going to continue to hit news and current events, followed along with your calls. And folks, if you want to call, you can weigh in at 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944.
It's unlisted, actually. That phone number is unlisted. And it's a party line, too.
Open the phones after this hour's over. Russia warns U.S. over a naval incident as NATO tensions laid bare. Russia accused the United States on Wednesday of intimidation by sailing a U.S. naval destroyer close to Russia's border in the Baltics, and warned that the Russian military would respond with all necessary measures to any future incidents. Remember, we talked about a story yesterday or the day before where Russian jets had buzzed a U.S. destroyer.
Oh, well, there's more to that.
This story has a different spin on it than what we heard originally. Speaking after a meeting between NATO envoys and Russia, their first in almost 2 years, Moscow's ambassador to NATO said the April 11th maritime incident showed there could be no improvements in the ties until the U.S.-led alliance withdrew from Russia's border. This is about attempts to exercise military pressure on Russia, the envoy Alexander Grichko said. We will take all necessary measures, precautions to compensate for these attempts to use military force, he told reporters. The U.S. ambassador to NATO, Douglas Lute, pressed Russia about the incident, warning it had been dangerous. The U.S. has said the guided missile destroyer USS Cook was on routine business near Poland when it was harassed by Russian jets in international waters. But Russia is saying differently. They're saying that what the U.S. is doing here is what we see Russia doing, which is, you know, having the close flybys or Russian jets flying in or
we're,
near
we're
U.S. airspace.
We're poking the bear.
It's a two-way street is right. What we're seeing here. And this article ends up going down to basically boiling it down to Ukraine, as there's been no agreement on Ukraine between NATO and Russia Council that met last June 2014. It had been called part and reason for concerns that Russia felt threatened by NATO, but core differences clearly remained afterwards. The NATO envoys had expressed concern about Russia's so-called snap exercises, where thousands of Russian troops carried out war games without any prior warning. It's clearly destabilizing. This is from a NATO diplomat. But Russian says in the meeting it was reconfirmed that we disagree on the facts and the narrative and the responsibilities about in and around Ukraine. So bottom line, Russia denies any direct involvement in eastern Ukraine. NATO says differently, and there are disagreements that are not going to be resolved. So this tension resides.
We have tensions across the globe facing Russia. China economically, Russia militarily and economically. Mm-hmm. When we come back, your phone calls, 844-769-2944. Our preference is going to be given to first-time callers, and we ask, please, 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 make your point very concisely. Also on the other side, Well, what's happening in California with more gun and magazine bans? You need
Hillary
to know.
Clinton said today there's too many guns in America.
Yeah, and she, well.
More on the other side.
Yeah, let's just leave it at that.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.